This is CES Tech Talk. I'm James Kotecki, bringing you a special media roundtable conversation about the impact of emerging tech on global markets. This was recorded live at CES 2026 with some very smart people, and we hope you feel smarter after listening. Enjoy.
Hello, everyone, and happy day two of CES 2026. My name is Kat Forgione. I'm the director of CES Communications, and my main role is to help bring media and content creators to the show and make sure they have a great show. So we're really excited to be here with everyone today. I'm honored to take the stage with some of the best and brightest journalists from around the world. So if you all could go ahead and introduce yourselves, just say name, what publication, and then also, how many years have you been coming to CES?
Okay, I'll go first in order. So I'm Pascal Davies. I'm the tech reporter for a publication and broadcaster called Euronews. So we cover all of Europe mainly, but obviously there's a big lookout to the rest of the world when it comes to technology. So this is actually my third year covering CES. So within that short time frame, I've also seen massive changes, but I'm sure we'll get onto that later.
My name is David Katzmeier. I'm the editor-in-chief of CNET. We've been coming to CES as a brand for a very long time, and I've been coming pretty much that entire time, so more than 25 years. This is my first CTA panel, though, so I'm excited to be here. Of course, we cover all things technology at CNET, and we have a team of editors, and we're also partnering with CTA for the Best of CES Awards.
Yeah, this is Jack Wonsong from The Milk. The Milk is a Silicon Valley-based media company. But we also located in South Korea, so we are mostly from the South Korea. And then we are covering the technology and AI, and especially the physical world and manufacturing as well. And also, I've been covering CES for 15 years. So, you know, it was a very big change from the last year to this year. So I feel very, you know, exciting.
Wow. Well, we have a veteran crew here today, so I think we're all going to learn a lot. And you all are bringing not only the stories of technology to audiences that aren't even at the show, but are also sharing more about CES and what's changing, what are the technologies being talked about. So I would love if we could all just go around and share what are some of the technology trends that you're seeing at the show this year, and what are some of the things that are exciting you?
I can start. The elephant in the room is always AI in the world of tech. But at CNET, we've seen a lot of changes in the way CES is dealing with AI. And I think it's for the better. So a lot of brands, a lot of most innovative technologies are AI that is being adapted into the physical world. And we're seeing trends of AI becoming more useful in everyday life. So one example is LG announced a robot that can fold your laundry, for example. And that's kind of like an AI contribution to, a chore that we see every day. And so AI moving from chatbots and autocomplete and your phones to different devices, for example, robots or autonomous cars. That's been, you know, one of the larger trends that we've seen, and seeing that trickle into the consumer market in a way that can really help people is really exciting.
Yeah, last year also the topic of the CES is AI, but this year is a much change from the last year, because last year we talked about the OpenAI and Claude, something like a large language model. But this year, I think we don't much talk about LLM, but we talk about the humanoid robot and, you know, like a factory. Like yesterday was a Siemens keynote and Lenovo keynote, and also Jensen keynote. They are all focusing about the physical world and also humanoid as well. So this is a big change, because I think the companies, they are focusing on the ROI, which means return on investment and the money as well. So AI, so far it was a big thing, but you know, not tangible or make money. But this year, most companies are talking about the real world, which is we should make real money. No, it's a big change.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So I think before, when I first started coming here, AI was really like, it seemed every single company was just saying it's using AI to get some kind of buzz or media attraction. Whereas now it seems like when companies are speaking about it, the first thing they're saying is not, oh, look, we use AI. It's like, okay, this is what we're doing. And this is the technology we're using, which, you know, will often include AI to help with that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people have talked about in the past, is there this AI hype, and is it just marketing or is it actually being used, right? And so my question to you all is, do you think that is true? Is it hype? Is it marketing? Or do you really feel like some of the products that you're seeing are showing real use cases? And what are those use cases that consumers are going to see hit shelves soon?
I think, you know, we spoke about autonomous driving. I don't think that's going to happen quite yet. So I think we're a few years away. But certainly in things such as health tech that are helping people get better readings, perhaps on their personal health, that might be in wearables, it might be in smart scales. We've got the Withings smart scale that's causing a lot of buzz. So I definitely think things like that. I also think a lot in kind of robotics, but kind of robots that are available now for consumer use, you know, that might be for children or those kinds of robots or companion robots, but more the cute animal furry type rather than the other type we may see. So I think, yeah, those are the kind of use cases we're seeing.
Yeah, Pascal, when you said wearables, you reminded me of another trend that I've seen. And as journalists, I think we can, I personally love this one. And this is AI devices that are designed to kind of absorb conversations around you. And then you can go back and use them as a memory aid or use them as notes or even for on the record. So we have the Plaid, not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, but it's an AI pin that one of our reporters is wearing around and using it as a test. And there's rings that can do that. There's even an app where, you know, you can add it to your phone and it uses your phone's microphone to record things in the world. Of course, there's privacy implications. You have to say that, you know, you're being recorded. But once that's established, people are used to that and it becomes a record of not just, you know, a meeting or something like that. And then, of course, you can ask, you know, the app or whatever, like, oh, I had a conversation with blah, blah, blah yesterday. Tell me about that, you know, and it allows you to kind of augment your memory in a way that is, you know, I think an extra expansion of, you know, the information available. So that's a really good real world use of AI, is these note takers.
Yeah. Last year, everyone talked about bubble, you know, AI bubble. We, you know, not only just a Silicon Valley, but, you know, outside of the world, talk about bubble, AI bubble. But I don't feel this is bubble, especially after, you know, after we covering about CES, you know, they are in during the CES, they are talking about, you know, home robot and, you know, humanoid and also autonomous car. It's like a robot taxi in just the news. It was, we can feel like news, but in here in Las Vegas, Jukes, you know, all around the city and the Bay Area, you know, Waymo and the, all around the city, even, you know, 10 U.S. cities, they are rolled out. This year, they are more rolled out, which means AI is not in a bubble. You know, it's a real world, getting closer to real world. That's an important one thing. The other thing is, actually, many companies, especially Asian companies, they are start to talking about the timeline of their humanoid. The day before yesterday, Hyundai Motors, they made a keynote, which is their Atlas robot. They will roll out this year and next year to their factory, which is a little big change thing, you know. So we can use AI devices on our daily life. May not be this year, you know, maybe next year, but we can definitely have. But important thing is, you know, the like a factory in a B2B area, maybe you can see many humanoid robots maybe this year, next year, which is a big change than last year, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think that humanoids will enter the enterprise before they enter the consumer market for sure. So we've talked a lot about AI and robots and the topics that are really being covered in media. Let's talk about some of those trends in tech that maybe is underrepresented or undercovered here at the show, that is kind of maybe that sleeper technology that you want everyone to know about.
One of the ones that we've been covering over the years at CNET, and this year it's different because it does interface with AI, is sustainability. So this is a trend that companies have in the past, you know, kind of said they were going to do one thing and then maybe didn't follow through on it. We call it greenwashing. This year we're focusing at CES on the Best of CES awards. And one of the awards for sustainability involves the practical things that you can actually do to help the environment. So one of them is a home recycling device that you can take soft plastics that are otherwise difficult to recycle, and you can, you know, use them to compact and send them away yourself, because local recycling programs in the United States, not super great about separating everything else. So to have the peace of mind of somebody who really wants to be environmentally conscious of taking that plastic and putting it, you know, in a place where you know it's going to be recycled, I think is important. There's also a little robot sea turtle that's designed to, you know, interface with the actual marine life and look like a regular sea turtle and be able to gather data from for marine studies and environmental studies and things like that. And that's, again, a little AI device that can contribute to sustainability. So I think those real world practical uses of sustainability and things that can help the environment is always going to be real important. And of course, I didn't even mention the fact that, you know, AI itself, you know, is a big contributor to a lot of the environmental issues in the United States with the larger, you know, data farms and things like that that require a lot of energy. So when companies can get ahead of that, and NVIDIA's new chips are supposed to be extremely much more efficient. So hopefully that will help contribute to some of that problem, because there's always going to be need for more compute.
I was actually also going to say sustainability. That's fine. It's a good one, but one that I haven't seen a lot of, but I'm hoping to see more as I explore the show floor, especially when it comes to mobility and things like that. There is definitely a downward trend when it comes to sustainability in that conversation at tech shows. So I'm hoping eventually that improves. But I guess the other one I would say is kind of, I know everyone went for the Lego and, you know, this innovation, etc. But I've seen a lot of that in other kind of toys aimed for children. So there's now a smart Rubik's Cube. There's now the, you know, little robots you can interact with that kids can play with, etc. So I think there's definitely a big change when it comes to kind of toys, which I guess is interesting when it comes to this time when we're having conversations about screen times for children, and to see these kind of toy companies then changing the game and being like, okay, well, let's make our toys more innovative. I think that is something that's really, really interesting.
Yeah, I'd like to emphasize on the China, actually. It's really feel weird because, you know, Chinese companies in CES, you know, there are many Chinese companies always, you know, said they are many products and services there are, they want to show up in the during the CES. But this year, I think it's like we talk about like Chinese companies like a contender rather than, you know, main host of the show. But this year, I feel like a more contender than more main companies and main countries than contender, because their product quality is much higher than before. Like Dreamy, you know, the robot cleaner company, and they are now they make a electronic car, you know, this is a big thing, a big change from last year. And so, you know, we undercover the Chinese strategy. I think we're covering about their gadget and their they are just a humanoid, but in depth, in their mind, they think they want to show up more, but we undercover their strategy. So we should focus on their move and their strategy. That's what I want to say.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of CES, is that it is a global gathering place, right? And there are companies and from everywhere around the world that are showing off this technology. So how do you decide what is newsworthy here at the show? We have over 4,100 exhibitors here, right? How do you parse through all of those companies and decide this is what I'm going to focus on at the show?
I think there's always the kind of funny, weird tech that does well for our readers. That's always going to do well. But I think more importantly, it's really key to highlight the stuff that might actually make a difference. So, you know, that might impact healthcare, that might impact, you know, homeware, that might, you know, make your lives easier or better. So these kind of things, I would say, are really important to pick up on.
I mentioned before at CNET, where we're doing the Best of CES Awards, and our article just went live this morning about the various nominees that we have. And there's 23 categories. So we have a lot. But in various products within each category, figuring those out was a collaborative process with a lot of different editors. But what we try to do when we're deciding what to cover is we want to give equal space to, you know, the large companies, the Samsungs and Lenovos of the world, and then to the companies that might be innovative and have something new and have something world-changing that these large companies haven't really thought of yet. There's a company that created this beautiful little robot dog that it's designed to sit on the lap of aging people and Alzheimer's patients. And it's really an amazing use of AI technology because they thought it through really well. They spent a long time developing it. It's coming to market this year. And, you know, we went to a assisted living facility with the dog and a couple of our editors interacted with the folks in that facility, and they loved it. You know, and this is one of these things where you're going, this is kind of could be a game changer for this category. And it's another example of AI being used. So, again, a startup small company that at CES, a wonderful opportunity to see these, you know, hidden gems and suss them out.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with that, because if we have a time, we'd rather go to the Eureka Park. So, you know, then, you know, just stay in the Central Hall, North Hall. Because, and as you know, the Eureka Park is a future of the industry and future of the countries as well. Because there are international countries like, you know, South Korea and also France and Netherlands and Israeli. You know, there are many startups. They want to penetrate rather than just startup. They want to go to the mainstream. So we can see the future, you know, if we go to the Eureka Park. That's what I want to say.
I love that. Eureka Park is always a highlight in Venetian. Encourage everyone to head over there. And Tombot, the Jenny robotic dog, is, I believe, what David, you're mentioning. Also would check that out. So we have a few minutes left. And David, you wrote a story not too long ago that talked about, over the years, the technology that has been at CES, taking us back to TVs, VCRs, gaming consoles. So I'd love to hear from you all as veterans and been here many years. What have you seen change over the years, and what is making CES 2026 different?
Since you mentioned the article, I'll go first on this one. But I mean, it's the biggest thing that I learned in researching this article was that when you have a revolutionary concept, it starts out really expensive, with a lot of flaws and a lot of you know, things that could potentially go wrong. One of the pieces mentioned in there is actually the Apple Newton, which, if people aren't familiar with this, it was one of the very first things that kind of looks like a phone, a modern phone, introduced at CES by the CEO of Apple at the time. And it was, at the end of the day, a market failure. You know, it was this big message pad that, you know, tried to interpret handwriting, and it didn't work. But you could see all the phone DNA in this thing that came out 15 years before the iPhone. So when you have introductions like that by big companies and small companies, and, you know, you go, this is a really good idea, but maybe not the execution is there, or I can't bring it to market quickly or whatever. That's been, I think, the revelation of CES is, again, you see these Eureka Park style products announced, and then, you know, it takes a while for them to get, you know, out into the market, because it's hard to do something and be successful in the market. But, you know, that's one of the things that I've seen about CES.
Yeah. When I was for the first time in CES, it was 2020, I think. I don't know, 2012. It was my first time. But at the time, I covered about home theater and, you know, TV. The biggest, which is a bigger TV, which is a brighter TV at the time. And then now we are covering about even infrastructure, even, you know, the data center, and also the energy, you know, sustainability, SMR. We covered about the infrastructure. So that's a big change, I think. And also what I feel is infrastructure itself is like a product. Even infra is a product. That's a new thing. CES 2026 will be a pivotal year that, from the gadget to the infrastructure as a AI. So that's my big fear.
Yeah, I feel it's a lot more tech made for people. So rather than, you know, 3 years ago, it seemed that it was just kind of maybe there's a lot of stuff that, you know, where companies would then go under, especially those in Eureka Park. Like, I've kind of seen that from, you know, they've kind of started big and then they've just wiped out. So I think there's a lot more focus in kind of staying relative and, you know, having those products there, which are really kind of being made for a reason rather than just, oh, will anyone buy this or not? And then seeing those companies later disappear.
Well, that wraps up our panel. I want to send a sincere thank you to Jaquan, David, and Pascal for being here and sharing your insights and your veteran brains for this audience today. And thank you all for being here and have a great CES 2026.
I hope you enjoyed that roundtable from CES 2026. That's our show for now, but there's always more tech to talk about. Make sure you catch all the other CES media roundtables for how technology will impact consumers, your life, and the year ahead. Whatever channel you're on right now, be sure to follow, subscribe, like, comment, whatever else you need to do to keep those algorithms happy. You can get even more CES at ces.tech. That's ces.tech. Our show produced by Nicole Vidovich and Paige Morris and edited by Third Spoon. I'm James Kotecki, talking tech on CES Tech Talk.